joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets and the reports is Mike Zuzulo, and he is with Global Commodity Analytics out in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Looks like USDA took a small swing, if you will, at harvested acres.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you look at the report in its totality, you had a pretty good number dished out by USDA, pretty fair, given the FSA numbers, because, you know, we do have to remember they'll do it on a month-to-month basis, and FSA comes out with fresh numbers. And so I was pretty pleased with how the NASS WAOB people came out with their acreage numbers, given that the FSA data numbers at least were included. There was some discussion, as we talked about this morning, whether that would be included at all. And so it was nice they kept the numbers fresh and real active in real time.
So we lose about 700,000 corn acres and gain about 2.5 BPA. Right after the numbers came out, the trade was pretty active, but it has since settled down and has actually pretty much settled down to pre-support pre-report levels.
Yeah, and in fact, the corn has been able to take out its pre-report low of around 336 in December futures, and I think there's a couple things to connect the dots on, Dave. I think, one, we can take off the table, I think, the harvest weather. The trade, I don't think, really is trading that quite yet. It may at the close, or it may wait till Sunday as we get close to another harvest progress report on Tuesday after the holiday. I think the big thing for the corn was the domestic stocks-to-use ratios. Even though we came in under a 2.1 billion bushel carryover for corn, stocks-to-use actually went up from 14.7 to 15.2%. I don't think that did any favors for the corn at all, especially given that they kept the export numbers the same at 1.75 billion. And keep in mind, the five-year average export pace for corn, not including the drought year of 730 million bushels, is about 1.82 billion bushels. And I personally and analytically think we're on track for that, but the USDA sees otherwise. And if you look at the 2005-2007 time period, we actually shipped out 2.1 to 2.4 billion bushels on those marketing years. So be that as it may, the stocks-to-use ratios actually went up in the U.S. corn, and I think that did some damage to the prospects for the corn to find support, and that the wheat market and the bean market actually got better reports than the corn when looking at it through this kind of a lens.
We did see, though, in the feed and residual that USDA did increase feed and residual by 50 million bushels, so I suppose that is some sign of hope.
Yes, and it's nice to see that, because if you wouldn't have had that, then the trade would have thought that we were actually losing demand as supplies went up. And this is the key with the stocks-to-use ratios, and this is the key with the, you know, the medium-term analysis. It looked like you said when the report first came out, the trade was trading the yield, the trade was trading the production. Now we've kind of settled down and started to trade more of the global numbers and the ending stocks numbers. And I would say, like the Federal Reserve report Wednesday and how the dollar traded and how the stock market traded, we could have quite a bit of different trade as we get into the close if you use those as your barometers.
Could it be that the lows that we have seen for the move in harvest month corn and soybeans will hold, will actually turn out to be the harvest lows if the harvest can continue to be an orderly harvest?
Well, I think even if the harvest is an orderly harvest, then yes, it should be. They should be able to. I mean, the price model I use is suggesting that when we were down at 325 lead month corn, we were pricing in a 2.4 billion bushel carryover. When I saw the pre-estimate trade guesses for U.S. ending stocks and production numbers, that seemed to match up real nicely. And the same with beans. I think we were closer to a 500 million bushel or 490 million bushel carryover when we were trading $9 front-end beans. And so I think even without continued harvest problems, we should be able to, if that price model's accurate. I think the key now is if we have harvest problems, why we wouldn't find some short covering and addition of some risk premium into the market, especially given that we did see, again, going back to the demand side of the equation, we did see Mexico jump in for almost 1.5 million tons of corn this morning between two marketing years, and trade sources are saying that's the fourth largest on record. So the key point in the last 3 to 4 weeks is that the lower prices are stimulating demand, and we hope that continues going forward. But I think in this report, if I had to criticize anything, it would be that the demand numbers were not freshened up enough or as much as the supply numbers.
What was wheat's role in the report?
Well, wheat continues to be the fundamental base, and I think that, you know, that September 25th low that we were talking about 50 cents below the market, has a germane reason for being a major low now, because the trade guesses for the U.S. wheat ending stocks average was around 704. I was the low man on the totem pole at 625, and the USDA came out at 654. And even better than that, we saw the world stocks-to-use ratios dip some from 27.6% to 26.9 on today's report. So I would argue now the wheat no longer needs to keep pressure on the corn, and I'm wondering whether today's price action, why the corn got a little bit sick after the report, is the fact that the spread traders are unwinding long corn and short wheat positions. And if that's the case, then it should be a short-term feature.
So going forward for the next several weeks, I am a hedger. What should I be thinking about?
Well, the weekly chart technicals, like we talked about this morning, are all important. They keep you and your barometer and your compass pointed straight. And if we can't pull out a weekly buy signal on what I would suggest is mostly a neutral report, and not, if not a little bit friendly for the wheat market, and given the harvest problems that we will probably incur all the way through next week, I would suggest that we should be able to pull out a weekly close and a weekly buy signal. If we can't, Dave, then you just keep your hedges in place. I'm still in the camp, even though harvest is upon us, that you probably need to be a little bit more aggressive on the paper hedges than the cash hedges, and I say that especially given that I'm starting to run into some clients that are having real problems getting into the fields, and especially in the bean complex, getting quite behind at this stage of the game. And so that opens the door that if the futures goes down, then the basis may actually start to come up. And I've actually seen a little bit of that in the barge market today, because you're just not producing, the producers are just not getting the corn and beans out, so the barge freight rates are not spiking because of the railroad problems.
Is it possible we've seen the largest corn number we're going to see? And I base that on that one graphic from the lockup briefing where population per acre dropped a little bit and the weight, the test weight went up a little bit, but there's only 2004 above it, and I can't imagine it being much more than that.
Well, it's interesting because I have that printed out, and I was looking at it. I was hoping we could get to it. The objective yield is what you're talking about, mm-hmm. And I noticed the exact same thing. I think on a population basis, then yes, you are at your top end. I think also on pounds per ear, what I'm hearing as we get a little bit deeper into corn harvest is a problematic test weight in certain regions. And so I would have difficulty thinking that this October number in terms of pounds per ear could go up and match up with that 2004 number if we continue to hear those kind of light test weights as we progress forward, and if we continue to have problems in certain parts of the country getting it out before Halloween, I think that begins to be an issue as well that can only get worse in terms of test weights and pounds per ear on the USDA's scatter plot.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.